Galatians chapter 5. Watch from verse 16. The Apostle Paul got his words from the Spirit of God, and now we have them on a printed page. Notice what the Spirit of God gave to Paul when Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now that's pretty definite. That's a declaration. That's a statement that is absolutely true. Now, if you were to look at, we'll not read it for the sake of time, but if you were to look at verse 17, you will see there a description of conflict. And then if you move on to verse 18, notice what Paul says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "ye are not under the law." So look back at 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then after describing the conflict between old and new nature, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." And then he lists the works of the flesh, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. And then toward the end of that verse, he says, now notice this, "I have told you in time past that they who do what he has described, those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Then he goes into, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace," which is a first group, "then long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," another group, "meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Now notice verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And then he concludes this, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory." Let me read that again. "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." In a moment we'll pray. These words that I have read and that you have looked at, this is really serious. We're living in a day that many a Christian tolerates evil. They don't declare a position against it. There are all forms and sorts of practices that will go on in this city tonight that will fit into what Paul has said here. And somewhere in this city tonight, a body will be found in a dumpster, and someone will be shot, and some girl will be molested. And yet there will be some who will hardly blink an eye over that condition. when I read this, and I've been reading this and reading this and reading this. In fact, Pastor, you'll find this interesting. I have included this Galatians 5 with my steady reading of Philippians 2. And the Spirit of God is putting them together for me in my heart. And the reason that I'm so excited about that, you see, my desire is that I be what Paul describes a believer ought to be, so that I can do what Paul describes a believer ought to do. I'm not kidding. I am as serious as I've ever been in my life. I want to grow in grace. I am not satisfied with just talking. I must know Him more deeply. And I must be able to speak the truth in love when it has power. And so we'll pray now, please. Heavenly Father, we are so glad tonight to be here. When I think of the amount of people that tonight will meet and someone will preach and they have no roof over their head, they have no cooling system to keep them comfortable, they are not in a position where the church offers a food bank, and many of them are very, very hungry, and there is no one to help. And you are so good to us. Help us to remember that with you all things are possible. And so for your person and your presence and your power and your promises, let us tonight be what we should be. Deliver us from being like the disciples when the Lord wanted to teach them and they were more interested in place and position than they were in hearing the Master. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Walk. That means to pursue daily, a daily course. It means to accomplish a daily task. It means to meet inevitable temptations and duties and sorrows and joys with victory. Our entire life, mine, yours, whatever your age may be, it is to be lived by the Spirit of God since we've been saved and under His direction. Not only His life, His presence, His inhabiting us, but with the power that He wants to express out of us. That's what God wants. That's what He wants for everyone in this room tonight. His guidance, His help, His power. I mean, if we so live this way that I'm talking about, that Paul describes for us, if we live that way, then we will be so occupied with the power and the presence and all that God intends for us that we will be so preoccupied against fleshly temptation and all of the things that could take place with the old nature, and the victory that we experience over the flesh, it becomes possible only if we walk by the Spirit. That's the only way. It is not just serving. It is not just walking. It is not just singing. It is not just doing whatever you do. It is doing it in such a manner that in your being yielded to this blessed Comforter who applies the comfort, who is Jesus Himself, if that be true, then you are experiencing victory to such an extent that even if you can't sing, you will sing victory in Jesus. That's what I need. And that's what you need. See, now we look at the list of the works of the flesh. Works, plural. And you'll see in a verse here that we'll look at a description, get this now, of the war, of the conflict that is in us. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now notice, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he lists those works of the flesh. We'll not read them. You can read them later. So when he comes to verse 18 and said, led by the Spirit, not under the law. Now, understand this. This picture in reality, in actuality, this conflict between the works of the flesh on one hand and the fruit of the Spirit on the other hand, and this conflict rages every moment of our lives, every day, every night, and we must be aware of it. It isn't watching TV. It isn't using your cell phone. It's an awareness inside you that is so serious that you recognize that if you do not walk in the Spirit, you cannot have victory over the flesh. And this old nature that's like a crocodile that's always doing what the Lord said that Eve would do with her husband, trying to usurp the authority. This old nature never gets enough. This old nature, like a crocodile, is always looking for a huge bite, and then another, and then another, and then another, in order that defeat can be yours, so that the devil can have his way, and you cannot serve God with effectiveness and power that sees people saved. And so, the conflict between these two works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is not natural to a man in his fallen condition. Well, of course not. And when you're saved, when you trusted Christ, there is no escape from the old nature. It is right there, even though you're saved. And when you begin to recognize what the apostle talks about in his warning, in his declaration about what to be careful about, when you begin to see that, then you realize how hideous all of these works of the flesh really are. No one is good without Jesus. And after you're saved, the only good thing about you is Jesus. And so with that being so, then I must be very careful that in following what the Apostle Paul is giving me here, I since I've been saved now, I have a new nature that opposes completely the old nature. Not partially. I'm always amazed. Some people will spend some time griping, talking about this and this and this and this and about maybe some person. And then when they're all done, they'll say, but that's all right. Well, then shut up. Don't talk about it if it's all right. It's not all right. The life of the child of God, redeemed, on his way, on her way to heaven, has an aura about it when you walk in the Spirit. It is said of Mr. Finney, when he walked into a factory, everything shut down. And everybody focused their eyes on him. Well now, no man's perfect. And there were some things that we would not agree with him on, but he did have the power of God. And that's what we need. You say, do you think I don't? I'm not touching any of that. I'm just telling you that for me and for you, what we're talking about tonight is the very thing that we need. That's what I'm saying. And so, this old nature that has to be subdued every day, every moment, and by the Spirit of God, I want to be sure that my decisions that I make are in keeping with what my Father wants, and I know what my Father wants because he has given it to us in a book called the Bible. But I must read it, I must study it, I must memorize it so that I can speak it, so that I remember it when I experience temptation. And so this necessity of depending on the Spirit of God, this fact that he, the Holy One, has moved in at salvation, he has become my comforter. He has become the one that gives me guidance. And every bit of the guidance that he gives me, he's always pointing to my Savior. Never to himself. You want a demonstration of one who's not guilty of the self-life? The Holy Spirit. And I'm to allow him to direct me. I'm to allow him to guide me. And when I do, and obedience is the result, it is then that he giveth songs in the night. It is then that he protects me in the circumstances of life when the wicked one would stop me. And so it is a life of faith and love that is above all these works of the flesh, all these things. Once again, let me say that again. It is a life of faith and love that is above all of these false ways. You want to be happy? Now, I know the difference between joy and happiness, but you want to be happy? Walk in the Spirit. You don't need to go to a seminar. No. If you walk in the Spirit, there are all sorts and forms of things that in a few moments here we'll look at them. But I'm delighted and I'm excited. Both delighted and excited. Because he who is perfect is having his way with me. And so I do want to be responding properly. So responding to the Spirit, it's described by three words in verse 16, in verse 18, verse 25. Three words. Walk, led, and live. Those three words describe it. And then in verse 19, the acts of the old nature are obvious. I mean, you know, it is so easy to be ornery when you don't get your way. Do you understand that that is as serious as drunkenness? Huh? What about that? Oh, that's as serious as if you were to swear. It is. You have no license, no right, neither do I, to ever mistreat anybody. No! My Savior, your Savior, never mistreated anyone. And is he not the example? And the Spirit of God agrees with the Son. And the Spirit of God agrees with the Father. And the Spirit of God agrees with the Word. So if I allow, make a choice, and it does require a choice, then I cannot keep from playing an imaginary harp and singing with it. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And he has, and therefore, so, with this battle raging, you see, this list of works of the flesh, they have one wonderful value for the children of God. They can be a checklist. Are you listening? They can be a checklist for the believer. Now, if one's conduct is characterized by the works of the flesh, then he is either not a believer or a believer who is not being led by the Spirit. And the same standard of evaluation holds true in churches. If we all are being led by the Spirit, there won't be anyone who is envious of another. Oh, yeah. If I am walking in the Spirit, you won't be able to offend me. Only sin will offend me, but not the person. Are you listening? And so, if you recognize now, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, these nine virtues that are the Spirit's fruit, not fruits, fruit, they fall into three categories of three each. Here they are. The first three refer to the habits of mind that turns the thought towards God. Now don't miss this. Love is of God. Joy, we rejoice in the Lord. Peace of God keeps our hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. That's the first category. The second group of graces directs the attention toward others. Long-suffering, it denotes that patient endurance under continual provocation. Kindness, it denotes congeniality of disposition. It involves the welfare even of those who are continually taxing our patience. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the third, goodness, it's love in action. Not only desires the welfare of others, but it is secures the welfare. But then, the third group, the first group, refers to God. The second group refers to others. And the third group refers to ourselves. Faithfulness. Or, if you please, fidelity. And this denotes the quality of heart that's ever conscious of integrity and honesty in sincerity. And it is that virtue which ensures loyalty to others and obedience to God. And it makes one's true to his word in every case. You give your word and you will keep it. And then meekness. This is distinctively a Christian grace. It denotes a patient endurance of wrongs, a contentedness, a quietness, a self-effacement, not a low conception of your abilities. It doesn't mean that. But a state of mind which is submissive to the will of God and is unselfish in the view of the needs and claims of others. But then, lastly, self-control. That implies the rational restraint of all the natural impulses. Did you get that? And if there is to be victory, it can only be as the Spirit of God enables a man, woman, to rule his own spirit. And then, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then this last warning, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Provoking one another, envying one another. And so may I say to you tonight, and having delivered what's on my heart, I've said it to you before, I'll say it to you again. It is as if the Lord is taking me through a ringer. And he's mashing me to the extent that I will pay such attention to him that I know that there's no substitute for being obedient to the Lord my God, to the Savior, and to the Spirit of God. And I must be in this book, and I must declare this book, and I must be thankful for this book in Jesus' name.